We've done it. We're here. Can you believe it? It's 4 years of Wham.
4 years of Wham. Where has the bloody time gone? What I want to do is I just want to rewind, look at the first YouTube video and go, God, those guys look less grey, younger, but they look happier now. And that's most important.
That's the big thing that I actually do notice, you know, that we're going to get into some lessons learned and stuff. But the big thing that I notice is when I look at old pictures, I might have been miserable, but before I start this business, I looked very young. I looked very young. And actually, like, a little bit chubbier as well, like, happy and chubby, and was probably, like,
but
not
you've got
fucking
a great beard these days. The beard.
I think I had
strong.
A better beard. I think I had a better beard.
You think?
Before.
We get it in the comments a lot. People say, I love that beard. DM me where you got it from.
Well, pop it in the comments, guys. If you're enjoying the beard at this length, let me know if you'd like more beard. I can provide. Anyway, so the theme of this episode, I was wondering, Jack, how best to sort of relay it. We've done these before. It's like just talking about a year gone by. We've done it at different milestones of the business. But actually, I thought, AI, what could AI do? Right? Wow. So I said to ChatGPT, GPT, I said, here's a milestone financially that we have a meeting has hit. Looking from the outside, what are five things that you think we solved this year? What are you spotting that's five things that we solved? Okay?
Okay.
And we'll reveal the milestone at the end financially, shall we? Won't reveal it up front, but I'm probably sure the title might reveal it. Anyway.
The thumbnail, we'll probably say these guys did something stupid. Let's see what it says.
Okay, right. So problem number one was no one sees you as an expert, just another agency. So if you were to predict what ChatGPT noticed about how we solve that problem, what would you say it noticed?
So I'm trying to predict what ChatGPT said that we solved.
So the problem it spotted was that no one saw us as an expert. We were probably just seen as just another agency.
Well, all right. This is quite a fun guessing game. It's keeping me on my toes. I would say it's got to be, this is the year that we released the book.
It's the year we released the book, exactly. Sales is therapy. Available everywhere.
On Amazon.
So when you think about the... Actually, let's start off with the book, right? So a lot of people probably... this is on a bucket list of things to do. What do you think has been the reality of writing and releasing the book?
I think you could... I think most people could write a book, but I think a lot of people probably rush the process of that. We wrote a book. I remember writing the original when I was in the flat, and I've not lived there for about 2 years. Like, so that, and I know we've released it this year, but like, it was about three and a half years ago that we started. We wrote something. I've still got the file with all of our chapters in it. And you look back and go, oh, that is not where we've ended up. That
you like, still got it? The original?
Yeah, the original. Mm-hmm. The original. It's completely different.
It's bad.
It's bad, baby. And then we just kept doubling down and doubling down. I think that you need to, like with anything in life, when it comes to sales, if you want to release a book or you want to write a book, you've got to stick to the process. And the process is, I'm going to do the bit that probably I don't fancy doing at the end of the working day. Because you might disagree, but the book writing time always came on the weekends or in the evenings or the early mornings. It was never being like, right, okay, I blocked out 3 hours of the working day. That was agency stuff. That was firefighting time. That was team stuff or whatever it was. But just building that muscle of, I know I need to write. I know I need to go back over it. What things did you learn from writing the book?
So I like this idea, right? I first actually heard it from an MMA fighter on the Joe Rogan podcast years ago. And he was asking about, how do you think about workouts? Yeah, he's like, do you work out twice a day? Whatever it is, like a lot of MMA fighters do. And he was like, I work out when I'm excited about it. That's when I do it. So that I'm not running on a... you know, just like a random, like a running on red. He's like, when I'm excited about working out, I work out. Yeah. And then I heard a thing from Naval Ravikant where he said, inspiration is basically like a finite resource when you feel really inspired to just act on it. And writing the book would be one thing. If I was just a full-time author, if we were just sat in the Maldives putting a book together, it's probably a very different experience. But running a business alongside it, it was just kind of acting on inspiration. So a chapter like, you probably remember like a chapter like writing about the test close was something to try in the office as a concept and then going, oh, fuck, that really works. get it in the book while it's inspired and front of mind. So it's this thing where it was inspiration would knock and you'd chip away at it from there. And then what's interesting is it's a very saturated market, sales books, but I can't think of many sales books that I've actually finished. So I wanted to have a very well-layered book. I mean, it's a bit of a beast when you say this book, but it's a well-layered book in terms of there's the mindset factor that I think you don't get in a lot of sales books, of the way to actually think about the job. And then also the really actionable tips, a la reading Never Split the Difference or something like that.
Yeah.
So those are the bits. And in terms of opportunities that have come up, we started doing a bit of speaking.
A little bit of public speaking. A few more podcasts. I remember somebody saying this to me, but I really think that you're creating a piece of IP, aren't you? And I don't think it's a case of like, you create a podcast episode, you write a book. It's not like a LinkedIn post. Yeah, the LinkedIn post might be fed to your audience 3 weeks later, but most of the time it disappears, it dies, and you can repost the same thing another month down the line, as we know. But I think that the main thing is like, it's there. So people come to us now and we're like, well, just go and check that out. And you do build a relationship with authors, don't you? Like, I think of my favorite authors and I think of like the relationship that you built with them, even though you don't know them just by reading the book, there's kind of a lot more value there. So I'm hoping that years down the line, it's going to help pay off our mortgages. Fingers crossed. Keep going.
Yes. And if you are a reader, thank you very much for supporting. If you're someone awaiting an audible version, which I've had lots of messages about, it is coming.
It is coming.
Okay. Right. This is an interesting one as well, right? So let's see if you can guess what it's spotted that we did here. So the problem was too many unqualified leads wasting time.
Too many unqualified leads wasting time.
Yes. And I will give you a clue if you like. So let's say we can.
But I might not.
All right. Now go on. Let's see then. I won't help you.
I think I'm going to get this completely wrong, but it's interesting to the brain one there. I think we definitely double down on like, we know that there's a pipeline of people that you speak to and some might be qualified, some might be unqualified, but making sure that we're qualifying them when we call back. I've missed that, haven't I? That's wrong.
It's more obvious than you think. You might kick yourself for this. So this year we launched a second business called Ask, or a sales consultancy. And the problem that we noticed was it was less unqualified leads wasting time. It was more of a case of, we saw a business would come to us and say, we're getting a lot of unqualified leads ourselves. Can you solve the problem with We Have a Meeting? So we would attempt it, wouldn't we? We'd say, right, we're going to book you more qualified leads in the diary. But the problem would persist. They would still be left saying, all right, well, I'm sitting more meetings with the right person, but I don't really feel any better because we're unable to do an expert, unable to close them, see revenue, whatever it may be. Yeah. So we launched a sales consultancy, and the first client that we brought on, in fact, you're probably better off talking about this. The first client that we brought on had a very clear commercial target, didn't they? And actually we did nothing on We Have a Meeting with them. It was all helping them out internally with their team. So maybe you're best setting the scene on this one, darling.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big thing was like, you know what? It's so easy to go into something and say, this needs sales training, this needs this, this needs that. A lot of the time, what a company needs is it's still turnover revenue, but it's not repeatable. There is no processes in place. And the company we worked with, from start to finish, you could track it. So then all of a sudden, when we're looking at, and we worked with them for a year, and it was a case of like the first 3 to 4 months was probably quite grueling in terms of, this is foundation stuff. This is building out Salesforce. This is having all of these bits here, but you need to know your data. You need to know your numbers. How else are you going to track it? And then like, okay, a lead comes in because they're really, really heavy on like inbound as well as outbound. What happens to it all the way through? It was all a bit of like on the back of a fag packet. And then actually by implementing some processes, all of a sudden people start following the processes. Everyone's held accountable. You start to see revenue increase. That was it's been a really, really exciting year, I think.
I remember some of the early days, because you did a lot of work with that first client. some of the stuff that we'd learned as Wham implementing there, and you telling me like the looks that the people giving each other in the room, and then the main boss going like, "That's fucking brilliant," and just like running away with it straight away. So the commercial goal for them was a million, extra million.
1.2. They've fallen short for the last 2-3 years in a row.
And that 1.2, so we were due to work with them for a full year. Did they achieve the 1.2 million extra?
They're on run rate. They're running at that. Like, obviously, they run calendar year. We ran from June to June. And it was, you know what? It was one of those beautiful relationships where it's a case of, like, we said we want to get you to a position where you need to be. There's still some ad hoc work that does happen, some fractional bits, still doing bits here and there. But it was a case of you can just run at it now. Like, you don't always have to have the stabilizers on. You know, like some people bring in a fractional sales manager forever. But what problem are you bringing this in to solve? You've got no processes. Your leads aren't qualified. You're not following anything. Well, bring it in, follow it. All of a sudden, you're kind of there. So, like, nice. Run for a bit now and come back if you need it.
So we've only worked with a few businesses on sales consultants. Obviously, time is limited. We are selective, but just having that as an extra revenue stream, consulting people on the next part of the cycle, isn't it? It's the personal trainer part. We're now going to be giving you the personal training, but we're not here to work with you forever. It's to get you in shape and then leave you to it.
And then get off to Ibiza.
Exactly. Right. Next one. This is actually an interesting one. So I'll see where you take this one. So this isn't necessarily from our standpoint, but this is how people feel in the space, if you will, right? Cold outreach is plateauing. So cold outreach is either the same or dropping off. That's how people feel about it. Mm-hmm. What solution or solutions have we brought in to help people feel differently about that?
So your head automatically goes to AI, doesn't it? Like, bring in AI and stuff like that. But I actually don't. I think AI is like your friend in terms of like having like a qualified therapist or like a genius on your shoulder. The thing that we've really, really doubled down on, and it's always been our game, but is focusing on quality. Like, always, do they tick the boxes? Like, we talk about the methodology in the book, but it's not just a case of we want to tick those boxes for the case of ticking boxes. If they're not motivated to solve a problem, they're not going to attend. So I think it's definitely felt like a year of when everyone's zigging and most people are setting up email agencies or LinkedIn agencies, we're just doubling down and saying, no, we're picking up the phone because we know we can get hold of people. And we're going to have that human-to-human interaction. Now, this is a part where you tell me I'm wrong, Zach.
No, it actually isn't. But dead on.
Wow.
The quality piece, and apparently something we're getting known for. I haven't prompted it to say this either. So the quality piece is the big one. And I think we've done a few different things this year that have probably been different on a quality perspective. Obviously, as time goes on, we learn that we've got this repeatable, predictable, reliable framework. You can pick it up in the book. It's no big secret what it is and how it works. But the team from kind of top down, bottom up are recognizing the difference between that's probably more of a callback and that's probably more actually time to go for the meeting. So the result's been that a lot of the pipeline that we build, there's callbacks in there, but they're really, really good callbacks. You know, it's an 8-minute conversation, but maybe missing a bit of emotion. I'm going to call him back in 2 weeks rather than trying to sneak it over the line. So some of the clients have actually got a bit less in terms of meetings, but everyone's shown up. That might be a result that someone's had. I saw a dashboard the other day that was a 6-month campaign that had 100% attendance every month. But actually the input in terms of meeting input was probably a bit lower, but every single person booked showed up. You know, wow, that's fucking amazing. Like you never used to see that. So doubling down there, and then what we've started to see as a result of that is people showing up, and like we were always getting nice compliments on, you know, the person was impressed by the call that they had, let's see what happens, but really seeing, oh, there's return on investment happening here for people, there's money, pipeline, all these sorts of things happening quickly, which then takes the pressure off us as an agency for renewals and things like that. We're kind of what's the word? I was going to use a derogatory term then.
say it.
It's wiping its own arse.
Yeah. Yeah, say that. Washing its own face.
Washing its own face would have been better, wouldn't it? Right.
The wiping its own arse. Go on.
Next up. One. All right. I don't know how it's seen this as a problem. What does the equal sign mean with a diagonal line for it?
Doesn't equal? Don't know.
Oh, maybe that. Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. Doesn't equal. Let's please in the comments if we're wrong here, tell us. LinkedIn engagement doesn't equal revenue. Which is probably, I imagine, a thing that people would say that use LinkedIn, like, oh, I don't see any return from it.
But I mean, we know this. I keep talking about this, like, seed theory of, like, you plant all these different seeds and then eventually they come into fruition. And I think we get messages all the time, but people who have been following us for 4 years that either want to come and work for us now or they've been promoted from an AE to a director of sales in a new position. And when they're thinking about it, we're the ones that they think of. And I was having this conversation on the weekend, but when it comes to, like, marketing, like when I think, oh, I need a new key cut, right? Where does your brain go?
Timpsons.
Right. So you, when you think of the...
It's the same, right?
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm not going to fuck with you like that. No, Morrison's. No, but it's like, where did your... And then when I think of, like... So there's probably two for this. When I think of car insurance, you go to...
Go compare?
Yeah. Go compare. Compare the meerkat. Compare the market. Whatever. There's one of the two. So it's who do you think of when you want to solve that problem?
Mm. Right?
So when this is the whole thing that we do with LinkedIn, whether it's piss-taking posts, we always try and keep it to that top of funnel, cold calling, sales agency, whatever it is, so that when people go, oh, I need that, who are those guys? We're already in the room. So you can fall into a very funny game of, like, being known, and engagement doesn't really mean anything, but it's like, what are you known for? Wow, I think exactly. I did a 360 there. That was quite nice.
No. That was nice, mate. That was nice. The we had an interesting one the other day. A discovery call that booked in, basically said, oh, I'm really fascinated by customer journey, so I've booked in with you, but I just thought you'd be interested to know. I saw a really ridiculous post that you did, so people thinking they're pointless, the ridiculous post. Saw a ridiculous post, thought, I'm going to click on this problem and say this is a real person. All the messaging on the actual profile was of the problem that you solve. So when I clicked on something else, it might have been a YouTube video or something. The next thing I know, I'm out for a run or walking a dog or something, and I'm listening to a podcast from you. Then I got back from that and just booked a call in with you, and that's the journey I've been on. So it's having these different ways that people can actually get hold of you. I weirdly, like, I'm definitely not as good at it as you, clearly, with the engagement that I get. But you do see what bad looks like as well quite a lot. And it's like, oh, I can see what you're trying to do. I saw one before. You might have seen the same one. Someone posting about the English women's football team winning last night. Did you see it? And you're just like, well, oh, I know what you're trying to really get. I know what you're trying to do there. And you've actually got it so wrong.
It's just so many people get it so wrong. But it's like there are people that I know on LinkedIn, right? Like that you feel like you know them, but I don't know what they do.
No, exactly. I think, to be fair, I reckon a lot of, we were talking about it before, there's people that we know who, I don't think they know what they do.
No.
So it's not even like I'd been able to, so the messaging, that can you articulately and simply say, this is what I do?
Yeah, need help with cold calling.
I don't think loads of people can do that. So anyway, we've posted consistently every day on LinkedIn, every working day for the full
business day, 4 years.
4 years, yeah. So we've done it every day. So people know us top of mind, and it's got a full spectrum of things that we post. But the interesting thing, right, this year we whittled down our existing team to basically say, through people outgrowing us as well, but also some people having to be removed from the business, we need to only keep the A players, really, to push us through. We'd basically gone year two in the 700,000. So that's nice. That's good. So year one, about 300,000. Year two, about 700,000. Year three, almost 800,000. But if we're being objective, in the 700,000s again. So the growth wasn't big enough.
It was
enough.
A repeat year, wasn't it?
It was basically a repeat year. And we basically got the team more refined and streamlined. So it's much smaller. So we had none of our own function anymore. So there was no cold function really this year. No. There was times where you might get newbies booking meetings for us and stuff. But somehow we've still grown and had lots of revenue and been able to exceed that goal. And it's probably attributed just to that consistency on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So for people who say it doesn't work.
You do your thing.
Exactly.
Equals through the... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, equals through the thing. Right. Right. Okay, let me try and think how to word this one.
I'm excited. I love guessing games. And you know I do, don't you?
You do, don't you? Right. So scaling and adding in new clients means losing quality. So think of this as maybe because we're less full eyes on absolutely everything, that the new clients who come on to us perhaps miss out.
I don't really know where to go with this. My head starts to think of onboarding and the process.
You got it.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, you've
got
it.
Give me a bit more. Give me a big smile again. Yeah. Onboarding. So important.
What have we done differently?
Well, onboarding in the early days when it was me and you in dark corners of the room, cold calling for a couple of hundred quid a day, that was very much like, oh, bung us a CSV, give us your website, we'll write a script. Now, so much time and effort goes into like really understanding the proposition, how we're going to talk about it, the messaging, training the team, account managers, all of the stuff, data, all of these things. So we started charging more for our onboarding this year, thinking that people will not want to work with us because we charge for onboarding. I don't think I've ever had anybody say anything about it. Nobody's asked. They understand that actually, yeah, like if you're gonna, you could, I don't understand how we used to do it, but I don't know how you do it. But okay, if it's X amount for the day dialing, how would we just start? How would you just pick up the phone and start dialing?
Yeah.
Obviously, so much time and effort goes into it. So onboard, do it correctly. That way you set yourself out for success.
Exactly. So that's one aspect. And then I would say for people who are actually providing a service like ours, maybe a marketing or a sales service, it also has allowed us to give very clear expectations. Like our service is not you turn the tap on and everything just works. There might be some teething issues. There might be getting the messaging right, going back and forth, building data out. There's all these different things that can sort of either get us winning before we start or be a reason for us to lose. So having that time at the start to really manage expectations and work on it together has been a game changer. So I'm just going to run you down them, Jack, actually. We released the book. We launched a sister business, a sales consultancy. Mm-hmm. We looked at processes a bit more. So we looked at the way to book quality meetings instead. So really double down on what quality was as a bit of a differentiator for us. We consistently posted on LinkedIn, which we would attribute a large amount of our growth revenue to this year because we had no cold function. And then in scaling and bring on new clients, we doubled down on onboarding. So those are the key things that we did this year to summarize for anyone looking to understand this. And if you're someone, I've been there before when someone's told me these things, if you're someone building a business like this and you're saying, I'm doing a lot already, well, you'll probably be beating us. Yeah.
I've got a... You prepared some good questions. I've got a little question prepared for you.
Go on.
What do you think year five will hold for us within the business?
My hope is this is a big year for some innovation. I think I can start to see some things that we could do that perhaps other people won't be able to do and might struggle with. So almost like I've got the dynamicness of a startup, being able to just chuck new things in. There's new tools I'm messing with all the time and new frameworks, et cetera, et cetera. But feeling like a bit of more of a medium-sized business as well. So I'm feeling like innovation. That's what Fern this year holds for us. Adding some things in that you go, ooh, a bit of a game changer, that. Bit that's unique. No one else does that. What about you? Throwing it back to you.
I like it. Innovation. I think doubling down on content. I remember what James Ski said to us once, you guys crawled out of a rock and then you're everywhere. And I think, like, how do we do that for all channels, all platforms? You're thinking, fucking hell. So, like, you just get to a point where if somebody needs help generating leads, we're the first thing that they think of. And then that's it. It's this scaling season now. It's this like mid-level business of, like, the business runs. We know we could step away for a week or two and the business kind of keeps going. What happens when we add some fuel to the fire now? So
exactly.
Let's triple it. Quadruple the target. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Fuck it. We'll do it. So there we go. So if you're wondering at home, year one, 300,000. Year two, about 720, 730, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think year three was about 780. And then this year, drum roll, please. We've just cleared £1 million. So I think it's 1,000,006 grand or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Not bad for two schmucks from Blackpool.
Not bad for two schmucks from Blackpool. So there we go. So we've finally done it. It's been a seven-figure year, our first. Long may they continue. Thank you, Mr. Frimston, for joining me along the ride. It's been a pleasure. You're right, we do look older. We've had stomach issues. We've had stress. But we're here.
We've had
insomnia along the way. But we've had laughs. And I wouldn't want to be there when the laughter stops. But I reckon what the people are waiting for is, what is this week's task? And I'm going to make it very easy for people. I want, in the comments, thank you so much, I wish you were my dad. And let us know which one you want to be your dad. You might want Jack, you might want Zach. Whoever gets the most votes, so if it's they want Zach or you want Jack, that person, at the end of play next Monday, will give everyone who voted them £1,000.
Wow, you are getting more and more generous. I like it. Someone definitely did clear seven figures this year.
We did. So there we go. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Onwards to year five.
See you soon.